Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 53, The Promise of the Spirit. Pastor Harley Coulterman delivered this message on December 16th, 2018.
For every opportunity that we have to share our faith, we thank you, Father, for your goodness and your mercy, which are great toward us, for your loving kindness, which lasts forever. And we thank you, Father God, that your word never returns empty. It always accomplishes what you please. It prospers in our hearts where you send it. And so, Lord, we open our hearts to you today to receive your word. And we're thankful and grateful for everything that you've done in Jesus' name. And everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Last month, I was Pastor Karen and I were in Sweden to see our youngest grandchild. Number 17. Number 18's on the way, by the way. He's coming to Indianapolis soon. But anyway, we were in Uppsala, Sweden, a beautiful city, a city that's all decked out in Christmas decorations now. If you walk in the downtown area, it's really a beautiful city. All the storefronts, almost without exception, have Christmas decorations in them. The square, the city square, is had candles and beautiful lights and all kinds of things. And people everywhere, just amazing things. And so one evening I was walking with my son-in-law and my daughter and a couple of the kids. And they decided they wanted to go into the big Uppsala Cathedral. The Uppsala Cathedral is one of the tallest cathedrals in Europe. It is the tallest in Scandinavia. It's about 390 feet tall. Magnificent building with magnificent artwork, architecture. Just awesome, really awesome building. Was dedicated to the worship of Jesus many, many years ago. In the Middle Ages, I guess the Catholic Church authorized the building of the cathedral. And it became kind of a well-known cathedral throughout Europe. And in that cathedral are buried the kings and queens of Sweden, as well as bishops, archbishops, and other notables from, I guess, almost time immemorial, because there are thousands of years represented, hundreds and hundreds of years represented, at least in that cathedral. So as we were walking around in the cathedral, I was looking around at the architecture, and then I began to watch the people. And it seemed to me that most of the people were more interested in the dead kings and queens than anything else in the cathedral. And it just kind of struck me as being a little odd. You know, this place is built for the worship of Jesus, and yet all these dead people are here in this building. And there are all around the building, there are sepulchres, I guess, for these kings and queens, and their images are on top of the caskets, I guess. It's really, really an interesting place. But the people were walking around there, and while I was watching the people, I heard the word of the Lord come to me, and he said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" And I thought, wow, you know, how far our focus maybe has gotten off of really the real meaning of the life of Jesus and the worship of Jesus and so forth and so on. But here at Christmas time, it's kind of a reminder that religion has long sought to thwart the power of the gospel. If you go into the Bible, for example, when Paul and Barnabas preached in the Turkish city of Antioch, maybe this was about AD 43 or so, in Acts chapter 13, it records that the Jews there stirred up influential religious women and the leaders of the city, and they incited a mob against Paul and Barnabas and ran them out of town. So they shook the dust from their feet as a sign of rejection, and they went to the town of Iconium. And the believers were filled with joy and filled with the Holy Spirit. I like the way it ended. I mean, the way it started is not very nice. I mean, religion kinds of tries to press out relationship and gospel and good news and the power of God and the move of God. But the Bible says that the believers were unaffected by all of those kind of things. They were just full of joy and full of the Holy Spirit. And then it happened over again. The Bible says in Acts chapter 14, the first few verses, it says the same thing happened in Iconium. Paul and Barnabas went to the Jewish synagogue and preached with such power that a great number of both Jews and Greeks became believers. Some of the Jews, however, spurned God's message and poisoned the minds of the Gentiles against Paul and Barnabas. But the apostles stayed there a long time, preaching boldly about the grace of the Lord. And the Lord proved their message was true by giving them power to do miraculous signs and wonders. So amazingly, in the middle of all of those kinds of things, the Lord always proves the truth of the gospel. And so we can be upset about Christmas, we can be happy about Christmas, we can be annoyed because it's become so secular, we can have all kinds of thoughts and feelings, we can be either in unity or strife with families. But amazingly, the Lord wants to show up in the middle of our deal and prove himself with miraculous signs, wonders, and miracles through the power of the Holy Spirit. He always proves the truth of the gospel. I have a clip here that I want to show you, a video clip. It's an interview between Pat Robertson and Reinhard Bonnke, a famous evangelist. And in this clip, one of the things he talks about is the miraculous and the signs and the wonders and how God impressed him at the beginning of his ministry that he would do great things. So let's watch the clip.
Just amazing, though, when the power of the Holy Spirit came down, the first time, how did you know that anointing of the Lord was there?
Well, my faith was tried. Uh-huh. You know, I was not able to ask anybody, how do you organize a crusade? What must I do? I went to one of the Bible college principals when I was that young, and I said, why are so few people getting saved? Why? He said to me, we must wait till revival comes. I said, revival?
Yeah.
We are praying hundreds of years for revival. And in the meantime, millions and millions get lost. Mm. This cannot be right.
Yeah.
And then I discovered no revival comes if we don't preach the word of God under the anointing of the Holy Spirit.
And that's the secret.
It's a secret.
Well, you know, you've written a book, I might add, I want to hold up. It's called Are We Flammable or Fireproof? You were in a meeting, and there were a whole lot of people just praising God and being anointed by the Holy Spirit, and there were four or five who were just, you know, like dead.
Yes.
And you said they were like asbestos in the middle of a fire.
The Lord spoke to me.
Yeah.
I said, Lord, what are these people? They just look.
Yeah.
You know, no fire at all.
Yeah.
And the Lord said to me, these are asbestos Christians. They are fireproof. I don't want to be fireproof.
Well, fireproof, the Holy Spirit just can't touch them. Is that the idea?
Yeah, that's a pity. That's a pity. You know what came to me?
What's that?
Is if the church in general rejects the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is homeless.
Oh.
He's homeless.
Yeah.
Like the dove on Noah's ark could not find a place to rest and had to return. The Holy Spirit is homeless if he cannot find our bodies to be his temples and his residential address on earth. We need the Great Commission, and we have the Holy Spirit. If we have only the Great Commission and or only the Holy Spirit, we have power without purpose or purpose without power.
Uh-huh.
It is a package deal. And that is what God honors.
Well, how does somebody receive that power? I mean, somebody, it's not just going to happen. You've got to ask for it, don't you?
It's the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. There is no alternative. Mm-hmm. There is no alternative. You shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Acts 1:8. And it was fulfilled. You know, Pentecost was in Acts chapter 2. And the rest of the book shows us what happened as a result. Yeah. And if we preach what the apostles preached, mm-hmm. we have the results the apostles had.
Well, when you were in Africa, there were some meetings. Tell us about some of where the power of the Holy Spirit came in among you. What happened physically to the people?
Wow. That was at the beginning. I think that would be the right story to tell.
Yeah, yeah.
It was at the beginning, you know, when I was not quite sure, should I not pray for the sick and like mm-hmm. others, you see. I evolved. I had to unlearn what I had learned in Germany, and the Lord started to teach me afresh. And I was preaching with an interpreter, and suddenly the power of God fell, and my interpreter fell down mm-hmm. and cried tears, and I knew it was the Holy Spirit. And then suddenly I heard his voice speaking in my heart. Mm-hmm. He said, "My word in your mouth is just as powerful as my word in my mouth."
Oh.
I said, wow, yeah. It's the word of God
yeah.
coming through mouths.
Mm.
The Holy Spirit gives us utterance. And he had recovered. I could continue to preach. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "Pray for the totally blind." Mm. And the devil came whispering.
Yeah.
And said, "What if nothing happens?" See?
All right.
And I said, "Devil, if nothing happens, that is not the point right now." Mm-hmm. The point is that I obey the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
I continued preaching, and then I started. I said, "I want the totally blind people get up." And they got up. I said, "In a moment, you're going to see Reinhard Bonnke with your blind eyes."
Mm.
And I shouted in the name of Jesus, "Blind eyes, open!" And suddenly, an echo from the crowd, "I can see, I can see." And I learned in that meeting mm-hmm. that the Holy Spirit is a healing spirit.
Yes.
You see, when one gift is working, they are all active.
Mm-hmm.
And all miracles, kind of miracles happen. There was a mother at the end of that auditorium. Mm-hmm. She had a little baby with twisted links. They looked to me as twisted as spaghetti.
Yes.
And she held him. She couldn't come forward, so they passed that baby forward,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
over the heads of the people. And I stood here on the platform, and then it landed in my arms.
Mm.
And I forgot to pray. Suddenly, that little body began to vibrate and vibrate and vibrate. I said, "Oh, it's the power of God." May the Lord forgive me, I dropped that child. But he landed on his feet and started to run. And then I said, "Oh, what a glory he shed on our way when we trust in the Lord."
And there's nothing impossible.
Yes, when we trust in the Lord, his glory will show up. In the book of Acts, it really talks about this in Acts chapter 1. Let's go there this morning for a few moments. It says in my first book, so Luke, the writer of this book, he had written another book, the book of Luke. But he says, "In my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything that Jesus began to do and preach until the day he was taken up into heaven, after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days he suffered and died, during the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Once when he was sitting with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he has promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept on asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" But he replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they're not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And after saying this, he was taken up in a cloud while they were watching. And they no longer could see him. And as they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken up from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way that you saw him go." I was thinking about this morning, I just had the thought, you know, if those two angels came this morning and had a chat with us, they'd probably say just the same thing. What would they say? "Why are you standing here?" Because God didn't create us to sit, to stand, to watch, to stare. He created us to go. He said that when the Holy Spirit would come upon us, that we'd be his witnesses in Judea and Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. I think the angels would think it odd that we were maybe not so prone to do what God said we should do, what Jesus said we should do. Maybe you think it's a little bit odd talking about the Holy Spirit at Christmas time because that's for Pentecost. But in reality, without the Holy Spirit, Christmas and the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, really just becomes secular and irrelevant. Have you heard Christians complain because Christmas is too secular? Because it's all about the gifts, it's all about families, it's all about this, it's all about that, and very little about Jesus. And then, you know, you hear about all the cases and problems and troubles that people have when they put manger scenes out in their lawns or in the public places and so forth and so on. And well, without the Holy Spirit, really, that's what it becomes. It becomes a holiday, it becomes a Black Friday, not a good Friday, a funny Thursday, I don't know, and something Monday. But without the Holy Spirit, you know, we're just lost and undone because we really need him. And so this morning, I want to just talk to you about five reasons that we should talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit at Christmas time. The first one is that the Holy Spirit is really significant in the birth of Jesus, in the fulfillment of the promises and the prophecies that were made about Jesus for many, many years before Jesus ever arrived on the scene. In Luke chapter 1, verse 35, for example, it says, "The angel answered and said to her," this angel is speaking to Mary, this is what he said to her. He said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you." Just think about that. Before Jesus was even born, the angel came and talked to Mary about the Holy Spirit. And he said, "The power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So at the very beginning, before quote unquote Christmas ever happened, the Holy Spirit showed up on the scene and was spoken about by that angel, predicting that the Holy Spirit would come over this virgin called Mary, and that the one that was born from that union would be Emmanuel, God with us, the Son of God. Amazing, the Holy Spirit in the Christmas story. So the second reason, the second place we see this, is the shepherds in Luke chapter 2. It's the traditional Christmas story, of course, that we read. In verse 17, it says, "Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child." In other words, they were repeating what the angels had told them. Remember, they appeared to them and they were praising God and worshiping God, and they told the angels about this child, and they told the shepherds about this child that they should go see. Verse 18 says, "All those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds." You know, the shepherds weren't the preachers of the day, but empowered by the Holy Spirit, they became the messengers of the birth of Jesus. So without the Holy Spirit, really, Christmas would be nothing. Number three, the Holy Spirit confirmed that he was the promised Messiah at the covenant circumcision of Jesus. Also in Luke chapter 2, 25th verse, it says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ." In other words, the Messiah, the promised Messiah. Verse 27, "So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.'" What an amazing, amazing prophetic utterance over this little baby that had just been born 8 days earlier, that his parents were coming to dedicate him and to circumcise him in the temple according to the law of Moses. The Holy Spirit was there at Jesus' birth. Number four, Luke, when he's speaking about it, emphasized the baptism in the Holy Spirit was the fulfillment of the promise of the Father. In Acts 1:4, which we just read a little bit ago, it says, "When he was eating with them, he commanded them, 'Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" So Luke emphasized that the baptism of the Holy Spirit was the fulfillment of this promise of the Father. Number five, why should we speak about the baptism in the Holy Spirit at Christmas time? The baptism of the Holy Spirit makes the life of Jesus relevant and personal to every believer. It says in verse 8 of Acts chapter 1, "But you, that's me, that's us, that's all of us, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So I submit to you this morning that Christmas would be relatively nothing without the Holy Spirit, without the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, if you understand that God will confirm his word with signs following, we should expect great miracles this Christmas season. And whether or not Jesus was born on December 25th or April 4th, it doesn't matter really, because the Holy Spirit was the author of his birth and was the one who put the power that made it all happen. So we can rejoice this Christmas season, rejoice in the things of God, rejoice in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, and use it as a wonderful opportunity to minister to people, because really that's why we're here. And if we're not here for that, why are we here? We wouldn't be the church if we weren't sharing the good news of Jesus with everybody. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So right now we're going to break into small groups for just a few minutes, 15 minutes or so. And we're going to give you an opportunity to speak to each other and to talk. One of the things that John tried to do was worship him. And he said, don't worship me. He said, we're like the brethren. He said, the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. So we're going to have a short testimony here. Sister Tanya has a testimony she's going to share with us this morning. You know, part of the celebration of Sunday, our Sunday service, is basically sharing life with one another. And when the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, it's also the spirit of praise. So we can rejoice with those that rejoice. We can pray for those who need prayer. And we can minister one to another. So God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you. The last couple weeks, I've been back and forth between Cleveland Clinic, my best friend cousin's husband, my best friend and cousin, her husband.
Well, I'm going to close this morning from the book of Romans, the 15th chapter. Romans 15, verse 16, it says, for by God's grace, in the end of verse 15, I am a special messenger from Christ to you Gentiles. I bring you the good news so that I might present you an acceptable offering to God, made holy by the Holy Spirit. So I have a reason to be enthusiastic about all Christ Jesus has done through me in my service to God. Yet I dare not boast about anything except what Christ has done through me, bringing Gentiles to God by my message and by the way I worked among them. They were convinced by the power of the miraculous signs and wonders and by the power of God's Spirit. In this way, I have fully presented the good news of Christ from Jerusalem all the way to Illyricum. My ambition has always been to preach the good news where the name of Christ has never been heard, rather than where a church has already been started by someone else. So, Father, we just thank you today for the good news, the gospel, of which we are messengers and carriers. We thank you for the price that Jesus paid so that we could take this good news to the world that we live in. And we ask you, Father, by the power of your Spirit, that you would use us in a mighty way, like you used Tanya and like you've used many others, through the power of your Holy Spirit to minister into the lives of others. We pray over those, Father, who were ministered to yesterday in the outreach. We ask you, Lord, that we continue to see a mighty harvest of souls, mighty works, signs, wonders, miracles, healings, deliverance, blessing in the streets of our city, in our state, our nation, Father, and in the world that we live in beyond. And for it, we give you honor and praise and glory in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for this church family. Thank you, Father, for their ministry. And thank you, Father, for their willingness to serve you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. If you came today and you'd like prayer, now's a good time to get it.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.